and it's only based upon what criteria?
The uses, how much you use it, and we do have...
So it's not based on title?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's based on your city use of your...
So the only one that's based on title is the top tier, and that would be executive.
I mean, what we found, Public Works is a good example. I mean, they're out in the field. They need to talk to somebody. They're using their own personal cell phones. The city should be recovering some of that cost. So our option is we can put them on a cell phone plan, and now they're going to have a city cell phone, and they're going to have their personal cell phone. We think the better path is they're going to have their own personal cell phone. We're going to reimburse them for a portion of time, essentially, so that we feel okay that we can call these guys and say, hey, we need you somewhere or something on their personal cell phone.
No, this is, I deal with this in business all the time. And so are we cutting our current cell phone plan?
So currently, there are, as I mentioned, Public Safety and Public Works who have their own cell phone plans, the city issued ones. And it's my recommendation that Public Safety for sure still maintain that. You don't want your personal cell phone number out in the public. And then it's actually protected under grandma as well. So you want to keep that delineation clear. If this is mostly for the other people like parks workers, cemetery workers, at administration, there are a number of workers like Jody, the utility building clerk, who uses her own personal cell phone for city business quite frequently. So this is for people mostly outside of Public Works and the public safety departments.
Is this been budgeted? Is this a new budget?
Yeah, I mean, we've already been doing this in a sense in so many ways. We just needed a formalized policy.
Okay.
So the financial implications would be very minimal.
Great, thank you.
Do the employees that get reimbursed sign some
yes.
sort of agreement acknowledging the policy?
There's a form that I've developed that acknowledges the policy, and also it will designate which level they are, and it'll be signed by their department.
And it's must be reimbursements that they have to...
Well, no. We will designate how much that job description would be using their phone, and it's a one-time designation, and it will be added to the payment once a month. And then, if something changes, it's up to the department head to monitor that. If an employee changes job duties and they no longer use their phone, then their manager should be saying, "Hey, you don't qualify for cell phone reimbursement anymore."
Any other questions? Anything else, Tina?
No.
Okay, thank you. Hey, ask for a motion on resolution 2025-013.
I make a motion that we approve resolution as approved by the mayor, including the Roman numerals as read as well.
Mm-hmm.
That we approve the second option.
Thank you, sir.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lamone and a second by Councilmember Jensen. And we will start with Councilmember Anderson.
Yes.
Councilmember Jensen.
Yes.
Councilmember Lamone.
Yes.
Councilmember Rogers.
Yes.
Councilmember Wade.
Yes.
Mayor, I need to go right now. I'm
okay.
Sorry. I thought we might be done, so I need to consult with that, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
We all hope to be done.
Amen.
Especially Wendy. Well, we'll move on to the next item here. We're knocking right up. KMD, for awarding Staker Parson and Main Doing Business of Staker Parson Materials and Construction. 100 East Reconstruction from 200 South to 1100 North Project. With a base bid price of $587,128.35, authorizing the mayor to sign a notice of award and a notice to proceed in the agreement. Director.
Mayor and Council, thank you. This is an opportunity to celebrate a large project. It's $600,000. There's a key word there, base bid. It's going to cost $1 million to do this road. And we have budgeted $1 million, and the base bid includes all the base items. And what we've added is some additive alternates. So when we find things underneath the asphalt that require us to dig a little bit more out or add a little bit more, we have budget to do that to get the job done. So we have, again, we built that into the budget and into the plans. We have bid it competitively and got great bids back. So we recommend that we would get the state of persons.
Any other questions for the director?
Love that.
Oh, ask for a motion.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to award Hall Engineering.
No.
Oh, someone, sorry. Staker Parson Companies, DBA Staker Parson Material and Construction, the 500 East Reconstruction, 200 South, to 1100 North Project with a base bid of $587,128, and authorize the mayor to sign a notice of award, notice to proceed, and the agreement.
A motion by Councilmember Williams. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Anderson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll move on down to 10E, consider for awarding Hall Engineering and Construction the Murdoch Drive 1500 East to 1600 East Waterline and Roadway Reconstruction Project with a base bid price of $597,320 and authorizing the mayor to sign a notice to award, notice to proceed, and the agreement. Director.
Thanks, Mayor and Council. I know we've been here, but I wanted to add a couple of thoughts here, too. This is that property that sent us that message, said that my home has been flooding for 30 years. I went and looked at this, and this is another opportunity we have to take care of things because we have money in the budget to take care of it. So we're going to put a new water line underneath the asphalt that we place, and we're going to fix some curb and elevations to make it so that the resident doesn't have flooding in front of her home anymore. I also want to point to the fact that we've received 7 different qualified bids. One was really high, and we asked the contractor why so high. And I'll try to articulate this in the best way I can. They said, well, I have to factor in the Britain factor. Okay? And you might think, well, what is Britain hard to work with? And I've advised Britain to wear that with a badge of honor. Because contractors did a project.
Hey, Cameron, hold on. Gently leaving. Scott, will you go talk to Cameron Naylor about the things that we
talked about? I think Tina chatted with him for a
minute. I gave him my direct line, so call me tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
No. And so we did
the
Britain factor. We bid a project with a thick set of plans and specifications. And so when we build it, we expect the contractor to build it with the right amount of asphalt, the right slope on the pipe, with the right amount of compaction. And none of that slips past in the pay requests and all of the things. So you can be assured that we're getting what we paid for. And I think that the fact that some people find that difficult is telling. And the fact that we do have contractors willing to bid again and again that know how to work with us and do the right work is also telling that we're on the right path. So with that, you know, we've received this bid and we recommend that we award the project.
Okay. Any questions for the director? Okay. Ask for a motion.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to consider to award Hall Engineering and Construction the Murdoch Drive 1500 East to 1600 East Waterline and Roadway Reconstruction Project with a base bid price of $597,320 and authorize the mayor to sign the notice of award, notice to proceed, and the agreement.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Rogers, a second by Councilmember Jensen. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Move down to 10. Thank you, Director. And another director for addresses now on 10F. Consider for a proclamation declaring April 24, 2025 as Arbor Day. Director Giles.
This one should take at least a half hour.
Please.
Up to you guys. I'm not as good as Neil.
I can't waste time. I'm just kidding.
Mayor and Council, this year the Beautification Commission and the Parks Department decided to do our Arbor Day celebration April 24th, Thursday, at 8 a.m. at Hill Park. And, yeah, that's kind of, find a couple trees up there and have it wrapped up. Have we done other works? Or is it always just Hill Park? Or what? No, we've done Discovery. Last year was in Mahogany or Manila Creek. Yeah, we've done pretty much every park other than Veterans, I believe. It's the older parks we haven't done. Their trees are pretty well established. Could you give us the specifications on all those trees and where they came from? At least 1/4 inch or 1.5 inch caliber. You haven't decided. Sure, good steer.
Not sycamore.
Any other questions for no one?
But I'd like to make a...
Thank you.
Is this something that we make a motion on?
Yes, you give me a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to proclaim April 24th as Arbor Day.
A motion by Councilmember Anderson. Do I have a second?
A motion.
Second. Councilmember Rogers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Our last one, an action item ready for vote this evening is resolution number 2025-024, a resolution of the governing body of Pleasant Grove City authorizing the mayor to sign a sales agreement with Clark Shane Johnson for 540 square feet of property located approximately 180 North, 900 East, Pleasant Grove, Utah County, providing for an effective date.
Can I ask a question really quick? Is this Clark right back here?
Yes,
it's so patient.
And he has sat here for...
Are you kidding me?
For 500, no. For 540 feet.
I thought you were going to have the best
for... Is this clearly your first city council meeting?
That's well, really important.
Baptism by fire.
Right. Technically, we have number 7 on our agenda committee appointments. I think we kind of missed that one. We'll do better next time to make sure that gets done so that somebody that has it through our whole meeting to be appointed to a committee.
He's the sales purchase.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
He's not waiting for a
committee.
But while we have him.
Yes. Can we put him on the committee?
I need to talk to him back.
No, that's a good point. Thank you.
Okay, Mayor and Council, the city was approached by Mr. Johnson. He is developing a very small one-lot subdivision, and he needed some property for the city. I don't know if you can tell, but this is the water tank, the Monson water tank, just below the canal trail, and the address is 850 East, approximately 100 North, 900 East, in that block area. And the little circle, the 540 square feet, and the little triangle is what he's purchasing from us. He's paying $15 a square foot for a total of $8,100. Staff determined that piece of property was not essential to our use of the water tank property, and then it could be declared surplus. The resolution does that. Since it was such a small square footage, I didn't go through the hassle of doing a separate surplus item. There are some conditions contained in the sales agreement that you can read that community development and engineering have placed on before the sale closes. One of which is that he will submit the one-lot subdivision plat, that he will pay for the legal description for the quitclaim deed, and that he will also build a retaining wall or something between the property. Do you have any questions?
No. Okay, thank you.
Do you mind if I just...
Yes, can you come forward?
Just a couple minutes, real quick.
Okay. Do you mind sharing the property?
Sure.
The first...
You can give you an appointment tomorrow.
I can come up here. Yes.
So
you
when we were
mic.
Building this home, we were originally going to, put a, let's
is that coming on the microphone?
Alright. So when we were building this home, we were working with the previous engineer, Marty, at the time. And
the city owns all this property up here, so the water retains. The original idea was to put a turnaround right here. But Pleasant Grove City said, hey, that's going to take some time to think through. We have to move a couple of telephone poles. We'd have to take out part of the property and put new gates up. And we estimated it would be around $50,000 cost. And we thought, we don't want to spend a year trying to figure out all that. So then the thought was, okay, this last second, let's put a turnaround, turnaround in the middle of the street instead of at the end, which was half my property, half the neighbor's property, which made us change the design of our home to move it down to a one-car garage. And then the city said, okay, we'll put some kind of garage back here so that you're in conforming use, having two covered parking spots, because that's what code is now. You have to have at least two covered parking. So to accommodate the turnaround here, we reduced down to a single-car garage, and then we said in the future we'll build another garage here to allow us to have two covered parkings. At that time, Marty thought, well, so you can get into your garage without having to, so you can turn around. It makes sense to use this piece of property, but it would have taken another 6 months or so to go through the council to get everything set. And we thought, we want to hurry and build a home before interest rates increase. Luckily, we were able to build it 2 months before the interest rates increased. We thought, let's just revisit this at a later time. And so that's where we are today. And just to give you a quick picture of this ugly area, it's one ugly area that we see trees growing through the.
I've got the visual.
Oh, I got.
Yeah, so see where we were at. So
there was trees that have been growing through the fence line, because what happened was there used to be private irrigation that ran through here, and ran through here, that was owned by Provo City, and that was used by two residents in Pleasant Grove. Marty had, previous city engineer, had us repipe that. So we repiped that to go right through here, away from that area. So now that area isn't used for anything, and it's had all this kind of garbage trees that have grown through the fence line, and the fence has fallen apart, as you can see. And the city workers, they have an open gate right here. They open every day, about 10 times a day, and they curse at that thing every day because they're trying to run through trees and things to open that gate up. And so Drew, who's over the water department, he was cursing out there one day and said, I've been meaning to bring this to the city again. And he said, let's work together on something here so that my guys aren't cursing, friendly curse words, open this gate up, and then we could do something to where I would build a retainer wall right here, about a 2-foot retainer wall, because right now the ground is about 2 feet higher, and all the dirt is sloughing off into my property when it rains. So I would take down the old gate, build a retainer wall here, so that dirt doesn't come onto our property, and then the idea would be to put up a new gate, or rather a new fence, and make it a little more pleasant, and something toward the city's not using this area right now. It's just kind of trees that are growing through and kind of a nuisance for everyone right now. So,
cool.
Long story, but.
Wonderful.
Love it.
Maybe we can put a name on the gate, like Drew's Gates.
Yeah, that'd be great. It is. In fact, we bought it from the Lloyds.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
I've cursed at that. Well done. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2025-014, authorize the mayor to sign a sales agreement with Clark Shane Johnston for 540 square feet of property located approximately 180 North and 900 East in Pleasant Grove, providing an effective date.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wiggs. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Anderson. And we will start with Councilmember Anderson.
Yes.
Councilmember Jensen.
Yes.
Councilmember Rogers.
Yes.
Councilmember Wiggs.
Yes.
Okay. Passes unanimously. That concludes all of our action items this evening, and so now we're going to shift back to final discussion on our budget. Is that correct?
Sure.
Before you start, publicly on record, there was a comment made in open session about a $500. Okay.
I got it in my notes.
Thank you.
Before I do, let me address my punchiness. I just cracked open my second Mountain Dew.
We are May 1, 3.
We are past 8 o'clock. This reminds me of the old days when we go to 10, 11, 12.
Yes.
So the fact that 8 o'clock was like a late meeting.
We didn't start at 4:30. We started at 6.
Those
7.
Just, I want you to clarify, those old days didn't include this mayor.
No, it didn't.
Okay.
No, it didn't. So, yeah, Tina likes to remind me we do start earlier. But anyway, I apologize for on our agenda in 2 weeks, we do have a couple of commission appointments. That's why I was thinking that. I thought, oh my gosh, we've had to sit here the whole time. And I inadvertently tucked Wendy under the bus saying, Wendy, you're doing a great job.
Okay, so we didn't even hear the under the bus.
Well,
we were busy.
No, it was a subject. But Wendy's also leaving for Cedar City tonight for her conference, and we were hoping to get her out here sooner rather than later. But here we are.
Off budget. Come on, here again.
What is that?
I'm arguing out fast. And that can bring the budget.
And we're fine. We can talk all night. All right, so there was kind of three comments made by residents who was here. I think that just left, and my intention was to corner her and say, "Hey, we're willing to sit down with any resident to ask questions specific to what's going on, to come to a city council and say, hey, I want you to address this is probably not the proper forum for us to have a discussion on some of that." Tina Snacker and there's going to be an interaction. So one of the comments was that we were $500,000 over budget. I'm not exactly sure where that came from. I think she was referring to 3 weeks ago when we went through our budget. But again, I just want to address in the last, well, ever since I've been here, and this isn't a credit to me, this is a credit to the people that run our finance and the department heads who spend money. We turn a surplus every year. Last year's surplus was probably over $2 million. The year before that was over $2 million. So, financially speaking, when we end a budget year, we have done a good job. Denise Roy leads the way for our city financially, and she does a really good job. And because of that, we're on firm financial footing. Now, some people might disagree how we're spending the money on what projects and whatnot. And that's fine. That's up for public discussion. The best I can come up with is last 3 weeks ago when we were talking about the one pager,
yes,
and we had our expenses versus the revenues, and I think that number was out of balance. I don't remember if it was 500,000.
And it normally is.
Oh, it always is. It always is up until we adopt the budget. I mean, and that's because we're required to adopt a balanced budget. We can't adopt.
By law.
But keep in mind, we're adopting a budget. That's just a cap on how we're going to spend the money. That's not a reflection of how the money is spent when the year's over.
And so, we also did not have the sales tax revenue and or the property.
Yeah, I mean, we did, but every month we get more information. It makes us easier to do that. But we always start in a certain position and work our way to balance. Yes. What you saw in the one page today was balance.
Right.
Is there going to be something that comes up between now and when we adopt the final budget that might mess with that a little bit, maybe what we think we can have what we need to be.
I guess thank you, Scott. I think my request, and maybe Tina, if you'll get back with us once you get with that resident, it's things like that really grows like wildfire.
And that's why I wanted it to be addressed while the room was full.
Yeah, I did too. But
if we get into that, again, we don't want to have a debate between council and somebody.
No. I want a clarification.
If they sit down and the mayor, and usually I just need to be better, I can jump in and say, hey, mayor, give me 30 seconds and I can clarify what's going on.
Yes.
And so you're right. I think if we do have a room full of people, I mean, these meetings are recorded, they're streamed, and people might be watching this 4 days later saying, well, you know, what about that 500,000? Well, if they stick with our meetings for 2 hours, then they'll find that there's an answer.
Which they probably won't.
Probably won't. You know. Good point. Okay. So two other things that were brought up. She used the term fluffy. Okay. I gotta be careful about the words I use, because the words I use mean something and they matter. And that was the word I used 3 weeks ago in regards to our PR position, because they were gonna handle some of the fluffy stuff. But what I mean by that is what I would call more promotional stuff to say, here's what we're doing as a city, and these are things, these are not hardcore news, these are not hardcore numbers.
These are events, these are
well,
happenings.
We can show up, we can show up on the work session.
Yeah, and so obviously it's not just the council and mayor sitting up here that's confused on the PR. Again, this is my communication struggle, and we just had a resident point that out. So I just, fluffy is a poor choice of words. It should be more promotional, and that was the terminology I used today. The other thing is school district, and
yeah.
this is still a moving target, and I'm sorry, Wendy, but I want to take just a couple minutes and let you know where we're at on that. So we have the legislation that was passed a month or so ago. When I say we, me, Mayor, Eric, Tina, who represent Pleasant Grove, when we meet with the other three cities, 2 weeks ago we had to sit down with Senator Grover to discuss what the next steps are moving forward. What the key date is when the new school board takes office, which is going to be at the end of November. They have changed the law so that when the new school board gets elected in November and the results are certified, which is usually 2 weeks later, then they can be sworn in and take office right then and there. They do not have to wait till January. So that has been put in just so that they can get running sooner rather than later. And once that happens, we are, I keep saying this, we're officially out, but I don't know, somehow maybe the city is going to be brought back into this. But there is an understanding that we as cities have limited powers in what we can or can't do. The best thing we can do, and what we've been trying to do, is advocate for policies that would be beneficial to what we call the South District. South District, Pleasant Grove, Linden, Vineyard, Orem. We meet with those three cities every other week, and we talk about ways that we can make this the best possible for when the new school district gets elected, that they are in the best position possible. In the past legislation that was just adopted, we had 4 points that we really, really wanted to be addressed, of which none of them were addressed. Okay. Now, speaking with Senator Grover, he's like, hey, the politics weren't in line. Sorry I couldn't get you there. I'm going to be proposing future legislation that's going to be more helpful. And that's kind of where we're at right now. There's various opinions on what we should be doing between now and when the new school board takes office. My opinion is, if there's anything that we should do, is be prepared for advocacy in the legislature if there's a special session. If not, it almost doesn't matter. That just means that the 2026 legislative session will be the next time the new legislation is introduced, and there'll be a school board in place that is going to be their focus. That will no longer be the city focus. If there is a special session, then I think we need to be prepared to be able to address our issues that we have had all along with the current legislation or the way that the code was written. We are continually working down that path. There's some logistical issues, how can the new school board get up and running. There's potentially PR issues to inform the public of what the city's role is and what we're trying to do, with the understanding that we are doing our best with the powers, which are limited as a city, to help with the new school board. If there are tax increases because of this decision, it's not the city council that is making that decision. I hope residents understand that. Like, the new school board is going to have to make some hard financial decisions. Are they going to close schools, or are they going to raise taxes? Are they going to hold back on capital projects, or are they going to remodel new schools? I mean, these are all huge decisions. They all cost money and have financial consequences. There's going to be a school board that is going to be making those decisions.
You know, Scott, yeah. this is where we tried to advocate directly with Senator
Grover.
No,
Grammar.
That he took away our power.
Yeah.
And then he said, not only am I going to take away your power, now I'm going to blame the cities for the increased taxes. So the residents are just like the residents said today, what are you doing about, what are you guys doing? Right? It was very clear that it was a city vote. And the city, and I'm just preaching the choir.
Yeah, right now, so.
But it's the residents are looking at us to say, how are you going to raise our taxes? Or how are you going to pay for this? Because it was the way the legislature set it up. And I may be angry about that for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But we've got to do something proactively, in my opinion, as much as we can to work with the school board to ensure that our residents are protected.
So one thing that...
And they know from, like, where that tax dollar is going.
Sure.
Look, one thing that we are still working on confirming, our understanding is the new legislation does not require the new school district to reimburse us for expenses.
Yeah, they took that out.
The legislation leading up to that was in there.
It was in there.
By draft. Because we were working under, if we were going to hire lobbyists to help the new school district, we were going to get reimbursed for that, and now we would not. Okay? So if there is going to, we're going to hire lobbyists to help get something going, that could be a pretty steep price tag for the poor cities.
The fox was guarding the hen house that day.
Well, so with that being said, we're still working on things, and we are, as soon as there are decision-making points that have a financial consequence, or that what I would consider be a major policy decisions and things, we will make sure the council is updated, because right now, most of this is a little bit in a holding pattern until we figure out how some of this is just going to be dependent on whether there's a special session or not, and whether there's going to be legislation in the special session. There could be a special session and nothing school district brought up. Okay, that's where we're at on those.
Just a reminder that my school district is still there as a resource. That's something that I think people forgot in their meeting the other day.
That's right.
Yeah, so, anyway.
Alpine's still operating.
They're still in charge. They're running the schools for the next year and a half. Or more.
Two and a half years.
Yeah.
A little under 2 years. July 1st of 2027, Alpine School District is still on.
Okay.
We're going to have two school districts for a minute. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Shall we get back to
it? Or do we want to put that to our next work session?
No. Here's the thing. Maybe I joke about this and maybe I need to be careful. Again, words matter. I don't ever want the council to feel like if we're talking anything, really, that somehow we're not going to give it time because it's getting late, or we're not going to give it time because something's going on. So I want to make sure the council understands, feels comfortable, that if we need to have a 20-hour discussion on budget, then let's have this 20-hour discussion, because like it was pointed out, this is the most important thing really that you do is you set this budget.
The door is open. We can't talk to you.
No, I understand, but
the public conversation.
I just want to point out, and I don't know how deep you're going to get, Scott, if we're going to continue. I've sent my email. I think all of us up here are comfortable talking to you about this and having presented on 22nd. But I just want to echo what Todd said early in the discussion during the budget discussion, which is, when we have these utility rate increases, which, you know, hey, that happens because the cost of living goes up. But if there are things we can do, that we can move money and maybe forego some projects and use money to help mitigate the impact on people in our community that live on fixed budgets, I would appreciate the staff maybe looking at that and coming back and telling us what changes in the budget we could make to maybe lower that. Well, you already did. I think that's awesome. We already got a dollar and a half.
Yeah.
The dollar and a half, I think that was a great move. Yeah. Is there another dollar and a half? Is there another $2? So that the residents of Pleasant Grove can see that, hey, we're working on using your money to benefit everybody, to pay for the great things we have, like parks and recreation, but also to try and keep the costs that are fixed
and I, as Director Richardson said, that are necessary. People have to pay these utilities if they want to live in our city.
Yeah.
How can we mitigate the cost of the rising cost of those? Because that benefits most people.
And our revenue is going to go up next year, regardless, right? It's going to go up.
Yeah.
The services are going to go up as well. But the cost of that, but our sales tax revenue, our property tax revenue, that's going to go up incrementally. If residents are looking, it's projected. Like, these are not my numbers, but projected a three-way split was going to raise the property tax about $25 to $30 per household.
I don't know what those numbers are.
We don't even know. Yeah, I mean that's the board. That's the board's decision. But we anticipate a potential rate increase from a property tax.
Maybe not. I'll with the new board.
That's true. So I just think we just need to be very careful.
Yeah.
I want to be very careful.
Well, here's what I like, because that's your role. I think my role is, because we do this somewhat inherently. So we get $5 million in budget requests, and we pare it down to the money that we have available. Should we forestall a certain project so that we can go back to the residents and say, hey, we did have a $2 million surplus, but we're only spending $1.5 million of it? That's probably not a recommendation coming from me, because we're not going to recommend this unless we feel we need it. Because we can say no to something today, but eventually we're going to have to need it or use it or do it, and it's just going to cost more later. And so as administrative staff, when we talk utility rates, if we were to actually fully fund utility rates, we'd be at your asking for $80 a month more or something. I mean, it would be a huge number, because we have tens of millions of dollars in needs. So we're sensitive to that. I mean, you see the projected increases, 3%. 3% is not enough. It is not enough to meet our needs. This is an artificial number that is saying, here's what we feel like politically we can get away with for our council to say we're comfortable with that, because our needs are much more than that.
Right.
And so, and I love this, because I think we understand the roles. The role of the council is to look out for the citizen and say, hey, Scott, to Todd's point, I think this is the year where maybe we do need to put that project off. Okay. And again, you dictate to us how you want to do that. If the council says we want you to go back and we want you to cut a certain amount out, then we would take that back and we would cut that amount out and we would tell you here's what's coming out and here's what we believe to be the consequences of that. And so that's probably somewhat typical in regards to how this works. But for staff, we don't necessarily look at this and say, how can we... We do look at it and say, how can we best manage this and be efficient? But we don't necessarily say, well, okay, how much can the residents bear this year? I don't think we have the answers to that. I think our council would have a better answer to that.
Well, I think it's important to remember that anytime we say anything like sharpen the pencil, go back to the drawing board, it's basically just kicking the can. And
no, I don't think so. Not necessarily. I mean,
there's things here.
Okay. But I think we can look at and say, do we need that? Do we need chairs this year? As an example, I'm not advocating for chairs, but are there specific things that we can look at? Like when my wife comes to me and says, hey, let's look at the budget for 2025. I don't just say, well, we can't go on the trip, and she says, well, we're just going to kick that can down the road. It's, let's just figure out, are these things that we really need, or do we just say, we're just going to go?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, except for I've been here long enough to know that when you don't do it this year, when you do decide to do it, it is more expensive.
Definitely understand that.
Yeah, and that's
there's two of you that haven't been here.
8 years, Mayor.
Well, I know, but before that.
They found you.
I'm talking 13 years ago.
I appreciate the administration keeping
us on. I'm not advocating for those.
Okay.
But I am.
I'm not either. I'm not saying.
No.
I think the 3%, but I'm saying if there's money, I'm just saying, I've looked and I've set some of my concerns. I don't know that we, I think Megan's here. She wasn't here last time we talked.
Yeah. About it.
And there were some questions related to some of those capital projects.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know that we need to take another hour tonight and go through those.
Yeah.
But I do want an answer on those.
For sure. Yeah.
Do we paint brick?
Yeah.
Because to Dan's point, and to Tom's point, when we paint brick, we actually create a problem for ourselves later down the road.
Yeah.
But then we have to maintain brick.
Yeah.
Paint. Instead of just having brick.
Yeah.
And so, what's the benefit and what's the cost? And is it something that gets kicked down the road or is it just something that we just don't need to do?
Yeah.
And those are some of the questions. But again, I'm not sure for me if that needs to be answered today or not.
It probably doesn't in a sense that we have 2 weeks. We have another budget work session. We have our tentative budget, which we'll adopt, but we'll also have a budget work session that day. And we'll continue having these.
A special meeting if you want to have a special meeting just for budget.
And I'm very, very okay with that.
Well, I don't think we need to do that because we have, until we adopt a final budget, we still have 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have time to work through these things.
I guess what I'm saying is, if we were to look at this as every dollar matters, if we look at this as every dollar matters and we're going to pull the dollar out of Mrs. Smith's bank account and we're mandating that as a legislative body, can we look at ourselves and say that is needed right now today on every project?
That's a very, very fair analysis. And again, I think that's the role of the city council, is to look at this and say, I don't think so. As staff, we're a recommending body. We're going to take a look at this. Painting the rec center walls white is an excellent example. Is that something will make the rec center look a little nicer, maybe brighten things up? I mean, Megan can explain why it's being requested, and the council can look at that and say, I just don't think that's a need. And so it's off the list. If you remember last year, we wanted to reconfigure how we did the entry there. We met there, council looked at it and said, I don't think we need to do this. We don't do it. And I want to remind you, it's not like we go back to our office and be like, those jerks are not letting us do what we want to do. That's not the dialogue we have. We have
Neil's laughing. He may be mad.
Neil may not do that. So I don't know. I was told that
there was a little belly laugh back there.
And I would expect that from you.
It is very important for us to understand, particularly as staff, that you dictate how the money is spent. That is fundamental to city government. Okay, that's me preaching a little bit. Our job is to recommend. Your job is to say yes or no. Our job is making sure you have all the information. Most of the stuff I think you understand what we're asking for. Obviously, when we were talking about some of the PR stuff, the 401k, you need a little more information before you're ready to say yes or no. And that's our responsibility to get that information to you. Again, this isn't us going back and being like, why does the council want to know all this stuff? You are entitled to that. That's your role. Our job is to make sure that you're informed. So I just want to make sure that, talking through these things is not a, this isn't a point of frustration. This is a point of us doing the best from the city business. Dollars matter. The dollar from Mrs. Smith's pocket, that matters. And there could be various opinions on that. So with that being said, if we are getting a little late and if the council's comfortable, I do want to finish with just kind of where we are with utility rates. We did quite close that loop. And then in 2 weeks, we'll bring back the operational costs. We'll bring back all of this again. But for sure, the operational and the capital, of which we'll have Megan go over some of the expenses that you haven't heard from her yet. So with that, is there anything more on utility rates that you have any questions about or comments or things that you want staff to look at? Because, when Steve makes a comment that why are we doing this on a second can is a very legitimate question, because I think where you're headed, Steve, is there could be some cost savings here that could maybe save somebody a dollar. if it's not going to impact us by reducing that $1, then we just have to do the analysis to say, okay, that's going to take X amount of dollars out of the budget. But we can bring that back to you and say, okay, yeah, maybe there is a cost savings there on that second can. So that's the type of stuff that when you give us feedback, we will come back with answers. We're still working on the custodial stuff. Again, we didn't have the answer on the 401k. There's still some loose ends that we're working on. But can we, at least for tonight, for the full budget, close the loop on utility rates?
Absolutely.
Any other questions or concerns?
Yeah, well done on the garbage.
And, yeah.
Well done. That's one of the things we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. And so what's helpful? Sometimes we as staff will take a look at something. I think our number originally was $12. We got it down to 9-something before we even presented it to you. And so we are cognizant of these things. We do work on ways to get these numbers reduced before you ever see them. But for the council to come back and say, staff, can you do a little better? Then yes, we'll take a look and see where we can do a little better. Again, a little better has consequences. My preference would be we stay with our current utility rates at 928. My preference would be we keep our $12 number, because we have costs that we just need to take care of, particularly in utilities. Maybe not as much in solid waste, in garbage, but water, sewer, storm drain. I mean, there's so much to be done there that any time.
I would love, I don't know if the rest of council would, I would love a revenue, you know, on revenue and expenses based upon our current utilities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have that in the sense of, okay, here's all the money that's generated. In fact, I think that's on this page here. This shows you what's generated with the revenue. And then the expenses, we can show you our budgets. So the budgets, particularly water, sewer, storm drain, are going to be a combination. There's going to be personnel costs, but most of it's just going to be capital expense. It's going to be fixing water lines, fixing sewer lines, fixing roads, doing storm drain projects.
So does this sheet have the balance in the capital account?
Like what's in the fund balance, the reserves? No, it doesn't.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, we can get to that now.
Because if you're saying, hey, solid waste only has $70,000 and we're projecting X, Y, and Z projects that are going to cost $140,000 over the next 3 years, then I do want to apply for that.
Yeah.
I do want to make sure that we're incrementally raising our rates. But if we're, you know,
solid waste is a bad example because there's not a ton of capital.
Sure, I get that, but again, you know, off our capital project, I mean, we're putting a lot of money in the sewer right now.
Yeah.
So,
if you
look on that 5-year plan, that tells you what our 5-year plan is.
And if you go set it with Denise, she will literally pull up the ledger for you so that you can see this is the revenue and this is exactly how we spend the money, and then you can see what the projection
yeah.
is.
Yeah, and quite honestly, if Denise was here, she'd be way better at articulating this. But
in fact, you can ask for the printout of
We have a 5-year plan. Mayor pointed that out.
Yeah.
So where are we at compared to what we need to be at? Right? So we have $23 million projected as capital plan in water.
Yeah, so this year our water increases are going to generate $179,000 of new revenue.
So where's the capital balance total right now?
For water, I don't know. Probably 3 or 4
million. It's going to be $23 million in the next 5 years.
Yeah. That's if we fully fund it.
Yeah. So I want to know.
Yeah,
what are those projects?
Yeah.
What's the fund balance currently?
If we're going to get into, hey, I want $12, then that's what I'm going to want to see.
Yeah.
If you're saying, hey, $7 because it's just cost of living. That makes sense to me. I can see it in percentages. But if you're saying, hey, we're going to do, you know, 7% increase across the board, I want to see the capital projects that are on the
board. No, for sure.
Why we need that money.
And I think in the past we've done that in a sense. We've showed you a list of projects, and here's the intent. Here's why we're asking for this on the utility rate. Here's the projects we plan on funding.
It's but literally, if you go to Denise, and you can go and sit down, and she will actually go over it all.
Well, but I just want to say something to that. If there's individual questions, concerns, we can do that, but sometimes it is a benefit for everybody to hear that. Just in a general sense.
The projects that we've awarded in the last couple of months are actually mostly FY26 budgeted projects. So
Some of it will be taken care of through the reserves that you talked about, that $3 or $4 million in water that we have. The project we awarded tonight is actually up by 26 million that we've allocated. And what I have done just in the last couple of weeks is engaged with a company that does a lot of rate studies and performs a lot of master plans. So currently, Horrocks is creating utility master plans for all the utilities. Then we're going to transition right into a rate study.
They're updating them, right?
I mean, they're updating, excuse me. The day you publish on the master plan is out of date. But, then we're going to transition into a full-blown rate study that's going to dive into super a lot of detail of the five-year plan. Then we got to jump right into an impact fee facility plan that justifies what we're doing with impact fees as well, and that's tied to both of those studies. So I would assume, and then this is all due to the pressurized irrigation, we got to start a volume charge for that. That's mandated that we have an incremental block charge, or in other words, tier rates for pressurized irrigation. And I figured we might as well dive into all of it. So come December, January of next year, as part of our budget, you're going to have rate study exhaustion because it's going to come and it's going to be a lot to discuss. We're going to dive into all of the features related to the philosophy and how we want to approach it. So this year, like Scott mentioned, we hit the CPI about 3%. We're going to carry on that, and then it's going to come, and we're going to hit it super hard.
No, I appreciate that. I just want to also state that I did have a meeting with you in the East last year about the same thing. I know that I can come in and talk to you. That's why I sent an exhaustive email.
So yeah.
You would have my concerns.
Yeah.
Because I know that you guys will address them. I appreciate that about this process.
And I appreciate the heads up in the email so we know what to specifically do. So, okay, with that,
are those tiered rates, is that been mandated as part of the metering?
It's part of metering and part of, a few years ago they required tiered rates as well for water.
For water conservation.
Yeah.
So that was part of the meter mandate?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there anything else before we bring this back into it? Okay. I just make a general statement. Thank you, Council. I do marvel. This may sound like I'm just not paying attention. You take it for what it's worth. When we have a room full of citizens and you can make tough decisions. There's plenty of times I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. It's not an easy job that you have. And just appreciate that we have people that are willing to step up and be a part of that. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mayor, can I ask one question before you proceed? I just want a quick, if you can, a couple minute update on the downtown situation.
Yeah, so we're meeting with the grant person.
Thursday.
So that's Grant.
And then also TestOut.
Yes, so TestOut has a mandate that they have to have their front done by July 1st, so we're going to find them. So they have submitted building plans. Daniel, what are they telling you? Oops, they're going to start here sometime?
Yeah.
They have to put the wall down. They were actually leveling a lot of that in there, and then they put the wall back up.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Wow, that's good to hear that they're doing something. So I have asked Laurel to apply for that grant. The council chimed in as well. Thank you. Her and I sat down before I left on vacation and kind of walked through that application. So we're meeting with the MAD grant guy tomorrow to really feel out how we want to do that. I think our next step, and this is something, because I'm gone all next week, will be when I get back, is we need to have our first meeting with the business owners and the property owners, because we need to start getting input. And that's why I want to ask the MAP grant guy is, do we want to hire a consultant before we do that? Or do we want to have an initial start where it's just the city and the
and the downtown people to just kind of get a feel for what we want to do. Because it would help to have some professional facilitation for us to get a focus feeling on what we want to do downtown. So we're working towards this. So we have, I mean, the grant stuff going, but really our next step is getting the business owners in the room. But I say business owners and property owners, because sometimes those are not the same people.
We created the list that has the information from everybody.
Yeah. Daniel's got me the list of all the business owners, all the property owners. So now it's just a matter of sending an email out saying, hey, we want to meet on May 2nd, 6 o'clock here at City Hall. Let's start talking about what we want to do. So that's what we're
thinking. Yep.
Okay, thanks, Scott. Okay, we'll swing back to our director reports. And I give any of the directors the opportunity to come forward if they have anything that's pressing for tonight, or if can wait another time. So who would like to come up? Okay, Dan.
Not pressing, but I know how much you guys love this.
You must have a restaurant to
it. Yeah. Well, so I just want to make emphasis that when we have DRCs preliminary, I don't even have an application, but we start working. It helps the staff to get ready and knowing what's coming, but I promise I was going to share some information with you. So I have a steakhouse restaurant coming to the Grove. We did the DRC, and actually I received an email from them. They're ready to go. We kind of have a pre-construction meeting for Chicken Nugget Place in the corner of the boulevards. And
Chicken Nugget Place, is that what you said?
Chicken Nuggets?
They're not known for the Chicken Nuggets. There's one company known for Chicken Nuggets. That's
but they have tenders.
That's what I meant.
They have Chicken Nuggets.
Full of working on actually the physical construction of the project. So we have those two, some good news for everybody else, and that we are in the final stages of a new hotel, as you guys know. So we've been working on that. The hotel is going to be
think it's a Town Place Suites.
Marriott. Sorry.
It's going in right now. That's what
we
built.
It's being built.
So that there's a new Marriott True.
Correct. Yeah. And we're in the final stages of getting it approved. So we're working on that. We will come before you guys, but I just want to let you know that it's almost on the that one. They've been working really hard. We just finalized a development agreement.
Is that one on the adjacent to the steakhouse? Is that
no.
The property?
No. The new one that... The one that is under construction, yes, it's right there.
Yes.
The new one that I'm talking about is on State Street, where Battle Creek business used to be.
Wait, where?
North
County Boulevard and State Street behind the new bank that is right there.
CC Bank area.
Yeah. It's that long sliver. Yeah.
Where Battlefield Park used to. We approve a plan for Battle Creek Park.
But is the access on State Street or access on
State Street? On State Street with emergency access toward the government board, but the main one is from State Street.
Is that where that camp was set up, that homeless camp for a while?
Kind of, yes.
Okay. All right, good.
So
there really was.
Now they're going to stay.
There's progress, and we want to welcome you, the new business sourcing. So.
Yeah, we have to get the police involved. They've been there for 4 or 5, 6 weeks.
The State House, thank you, with the Great South, because we're in the very early stages of that.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, directors, anybody else? I don't want to cut you short, but I just, Chief Brown, you're good? Everybody good back there? Okay.
Mayor, I've got one that's 5 seconds long. Just a reminder, Thursday is our annual recognition event. It's going to be awesome. Our awards, our raffle prizes, at the rec center, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m.
Okay. Having been number one during the March Madness thing, I was wondering who actually won.
It was Trent College.
Chief Brown is
I
not going to say
Brown.
It. But
no, was
Chief
it
Brown
Chief?
Would have won if Houston won.
No. There's no way it was Chief Brown. It was Trent.
Trent College from Blazers the winner.
Wow.
I mean, Kelvin knows his stuff.
I thought it was Kelvin.
He picked BYU to win it all.
He did not.
Oh, he thought he was going to go to the football team. Yeah. Oh, this is basketball. No. Anyway, Scott, do you have anything other?
That no, sorry, you heard plenty for me tonight.
You good?
Yeah, good.
Okay. Eric? I do. So if the city wants to join in with the chamber, may Dion did the shades get with you? So we're going to go to Discovery Park on May 22nd at lunch time. We're going to do 1 hour of just clean up of Discovery Park playground. And we usually scrub things down, vacuum it out, clean it up, make it look like it's brand new. If you're interested.
April 22nd?
Is that the
sorry,
day?
May 22nd?
Yeah, 22nd.
What's that?
May?
Of April.
April 22nd.
That's the same day as the council.
You won't be on a cruise, Scott. You're okay.
Well, so.
That's council.
Sorry, maybe I wasn't listening closely. Do you have a time that I can send an appointment?
12 p.m. 12 o'clock. Or 11:30. Did we say 11:30?
11:30.
Yeah, that's just to make sure people show up at my noon. Yeah.
Okay. I'll send that out.
Hey, did you talk to PG Cares about how they're looking for like an April service project?
I know.
Maybe Austin. Just she's kind of. Sorry, Mary, that's it. Okay.
Nope.
Okay, I have one thing, and I apologize. I have your city council's 2025 assignments here. They were sent to you through my Apple back in February, and they never left the Apple. So anyway, I finally got my Apple straightened out, and as I was going through it today, I said, wow. Says this hasn't been sent. And I had hard copies and I never did hand out time copies. So here you go. If you want to change anything, talk to the other people, have something. So there's your assignment, so get to work. Sewer and shore drain, is that right? Okay, well, she's not here.
Anyway, let's
move on. Okay. Sorry. I need a motion to adjourn.
Hey, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I have a motion, do I have a second? We have a second by Councilman Jensen down here. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I don't have a choice.
As proof,
I wish I were.
What do you want?